up on the screen is a very important person to me. She's unfortunately no longer with us, but that's a picture of me with my grandma when I was really, really little. It's my dad's mum. I was very close to her growing up. I spent a lot of time. So I was in Perth until I was about 8 or just before 8, and I regularly spent time with my grandma. Much of the reason I have faith, besides my parents and being very involved in life and church with them, is because of my grandma. My grandma played such a pivotal role in me coming to know who Jesus was. She's someone that I just always remember fondly seeing. Even after I moved to Albany, she used to get on the Trans-WA bus, come on down, collect me, bring me back up again. Which for someone who was in her 70s and then early 80s, it was. Now I realize that was quite an effort. When you were young, you're kind of like, oh, that's just grandma, that's what she does. But it was actually really, really significant for her to do that. One of the things I remember as a kid, and we sort of talk about baptism, and baptism would come up in different places. And I remember my grandma telling me that she was baptized when she was 7. And so I remember when I was sort of 6 or 7 and I started thinking about, I'm going to beat my grandma. I'm going to get baptized earlier than that so that I can say I got baptized before my grandma. And it got closer and closer, and we started talking about it. And you know, again, parents were wanting to be very supportive in that space. And so as much as maybe the motivations weren't necessarily perfect, they let me have a chat with the pastor and chat with the people who might be involved in that. And long story short, I actually came to the place where I decided, no, I won't get baptized before I turn 7, just so I can beat my grandma. There was something about 7-year-old James, as simple as it would have been, that realized that that wasn't a good reason to get baptized. I got baptized when I was 8 instead. As the year went on, I sort of got to the point where, no, it made me think about baptism and go, no, I actually do. I want to be baptized. There was enough in me, there was enough understanding of who Jesus was. And that doesn't mean that I didn't have some issues post-baptism. I'm sure you'll hear and have heard some of my teenage stories at other times. But I had faith as small as a mustard seed. And that's all I needed. What role does baptism play in following Jesus? What's the importance of, why is baptism a thing? Why is it something that the Christian church does? I want us to have a look at that today, but I want to look at it through a few lenses, because many of you here are kind of going, oh yeah, I've been baptized, all right, this sermon's not for me, I'll just sort of sit back and, you know, twiddle my thumbs and listen to the thunder. But actually, I think baptism is a really important part of our faith. So I want us to look from two lenses. One is for those who haven't been baptized, and maybe it's some of you here today. You've never actually taken that step for lots of reasons. You've just never actually been baptized. If you don't know what baptism is, it's basically where you go into a pool of water, you're laid down underneath the water, and then you're raised back up again. You'll hear a bit more about its purpose and meaning and understanding as we go through later on. But maybe you haven't been baptized. And so here's the question I'd love you to just be wrestling with today. Do I have faith as small as a mustard seed? If I do, am I willing to take the step of baptism? But for those of you who have already been baptized, I'd love you to cast your mind back to that time in your life. I'd love you to cast your mind back to what was going on in your life when you made that choice. And perhaps in doing so, as we go through today's message, you might be reminded of some things that you had that you really wish you had now. And it actually may be something that helps you look back at that time and go, you know what, I've got a lot of things have changed since I got baptized. I'm not the same. I'm not the 7-year-old James. I've got some questions that I didn't have when I was 7. But I wonder if in looking back and being in that space, you might be reminded and encouraged by a simple faith that can help you today. A couple of questions that we're going to look at as we look at this is, do you have to be baptized? Is it a requirement? When you get to heaven, is Jesus going to say, were you baptized? What does the Bible say? The other question that is sometimes asked by people is, should I ever be baptized again? Is there ever a reason? Maybe I got baptized and then I was a bad boy and I need to be baptized again. Is that what it is? Or is there ever a place for that to happen? And I'm going to explore that as we go through today. We're continuing in our series, Matthew, really looking to be quite practical and quite simple. What were the words, the ways, and the works of Jesus? And we're deliberately spending quite a big time here. We're deliberately pausing and slowing down across to the rest of this year so that we can embed in us as we look towards the future that Jesus is bringing us into. And a bit of an aside, I don't normally do asides in sermons, but I'm going to today. There have been some really exciting things going on in the background in the last few weeks. There's been really exciting movements. You'll hear about them more in the next couple of weeks. But some really good things that God is doing in our church, preparing to take us forward. And so one of the reasons why we're pausing now and really spending some time in Matthew is that we believe and we know that coming in the near future, we're believing across into next year, we're going to start to see some of those things that we believe God has been promising us and telling us over this last season of refreshing and really just sort of simply sitting and listening to what God is trying to teach us as a church, ready for the next season of life and vitality here at Austin Cove. We're going to pick up the story today in Matthew chapter 3. So if you have your phones, if you have your Bibles, if you have clay tablets, I don't know, grab them out with your Bible. I'd love you to follow along with me. Picking it up in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13, it says this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. Here's the interesting thing if you've been following along from the rest of Matthew. This is the first appearance of adult Jesus. Up until this point, it's kind of been the story of Christmas. It's been the story of some of the other things. John the Baptist has been fairly heavily focused on. This is the very first time where Matthew mentions adult Jesus. The story we're going to look at today is the very first thing that Jesus did as an adult according to Matthew's gospel. There are some other places in a couple of the other gospels that they talk about a few things, but generally speaking, this story is the very first thing recorded in any of the gospels of what Jesus did as part of what he was going to go on to teach and to do. It's really important and really significant. In any sort of storytelling or any sort of place, you always want to look at where does that character first appear in the context of what they then go on to do. So yes, we've seen Jesus as a baby, which there's a lot of things we learn and take from that, but there's something significant about this story. Now, some context, what's gone on around this, is I want to go back and just read a bit from Matthew 3, verse 1. And then a couple of other bits and pieces through it. So in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So we've got John the Baptist coming, telling people, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And in the verse 5, it says that people went out to him, that's John the Baptist, from Jerusalem and all Judea, and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. If you don't know, maybe you're new to this story, John the Baptist, he was called that not because his theology was Baptist. That's not what it's talking about. It's not John the Baptist, John the Catholic, John the Pentecostal. That's not where this is coming from. It literally is, he baptized people. It was just something that was known. Baptism is not unique to Christianity. It was a practice that was actually practiced by Jews in different reasons and different formats. And there are some other contexts where something like baptism takes place. There is something unique to the form and the way that we do it within Christianity. But this is something that John was already doing before Jesus came along. And so that's an important thing to recognize and remember, because Jesus is going to do something in this story today, which kind of changes the game just a little bit. Yep, there we go. Then in verse 4, oh, that's right, I missed the verse 13. There we go. So Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. So Jesus comes to John and says, I want to get baptized. I want you to baptize me. So John in verse 14 says this, but John tried to deter him. Interesting, isn't it? Deterring someone from baptism. Surely not. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. You come to me? There was something about Jesus. We're not given the context here. We're actually told, why did John know that this was something special? Now, John knew Jesus. They were cousins. They'd kind of spent some time together in the past. It wasn't like this is some random person coming in off the street. And John's like, who are you? John knows Jesus. But there was something about the story that John recognized in Jesus. You're not just another person. This is not just another rabbi coming along. This is not just another teacher coming along. This is not just someone else coming along. There's something special about Jesus. But Jesus says to him, I want to be baptized. In verse 15 it says, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Let it be so, John. John, this is what needs to happen. You might think that I don't need to be baptized, but to fulfill all righteousness, this is what needs to happen. Now, the word fulfill there, again, you might know this anyway, but it really does just mean to complete, to finalize. That this was an important aspect of Jesus' mission. To fulfill all righteousness, this was an important thing. And righteousness just means it's heart deep. It's not, you know, that pious, like, I just need to be righteous, I need to be right. It's a heart-level obedience. I'm not just doing this to be seen to do the right thing. I'm doing this because I believe in it. I'm doing this because it's important. I'm doing this out of faithful obedience. So what is all this full righteousness? Because we know for Jesus to die on the cross, he had to be without sin. He couldn't have actually paid the penalty for our sin if he had sinned. Clearly, his being baptized in this place was not so that he could be cleansed of sin. It wouldn't work for that to be the case. What I believe in, what is a fairly typical way of looking at this, is to fulfill a righteousness. The reason for this is the whole premise of the way Jesus goes on to lead his disciples is he is modeling the way to follow God. That everything about the way that Jesus discipled people, everything about the way that he then goes on to teach them across the rest of Matthew, which we're going to look at, is he was different to the other gods. He was not a God who was distant that you gave a tribute to or kind of hoped was kind of there and present. He was a God who came and walked the walk and talked the talk. So as he came to be baptized, he knew that it was actually really important that if Jesus himself was baptized, why would a follower of Jesus not follow suit? If Jesus himself was baptized, if it's enough for him to do it, why would someone who had decided to follow Jesus not follow suit? Not just because they want to be pious, not because they want to be seen to do the right thing, but actually because there's something about the following of Jesus that has cut deep into their heart, and they've said, to fulfill all righteousness, I'm going to follow my Lord and Savior. I'll be baptized. Now, I want to talk a little bit here about the difference, because you might wonder, so what is John's baptism, and then what do Christians do? What's going on in the future? Because as I've got there, Christian baptism symbolizes something. It symbolizes, as you're raised down below the water, it symbolizes you being buried. It's like Jesus was buried in the tomb, so are we buried underneath the water. And then as you come out of the water, It's a symbol of you being resurrected into new life, just as Jesus was resurrected into new life. Just in case you don't know the cheat notes here, Jesus hasn't died yet. So clearly John's baptism itself couldn't be fully expressing those things. That isn't something that's happened. As the disciples, or anyone who might be watching here, and Jesus hasn't yet called his disciples, as they're watching this, they're not thinking, oh, Jesus, this is his death and his resurrection, that there's something else going on. And we see it in verse 2, which I read out before. And what John was calling people to was this. What John's baptism was about was this. It would go on to have more significance in the Christian life and faith moving forward, but at this point, this is what people understood it to be. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Something is changing, something is turning, something is different. The word repent in the New Testament, it's an urgent invitation. It's not just a, like, maybe you should be sorry for what you did. Like, maybe you have a general sense of, yeah, I've kind of done some things. No, it's an urgent turning around. It's an urgent reorientation of everything. Reorienting your values. Reorienting your habits. Reorienting your behavior. Basically going, I was going in this direction. I'm now going in this direction. One of the things which is a disservice in Christian faith, I think, at times, is we sort of teach this idea that you just need to say sorry and then just sort of go on with things. But actually what the New Testament calls people to, when it asks you if you want to decide to follow Jesus, is it calls you to repent. It's not just a, yeah, I'm sorry I stuffed up. It's a deep sense of, I need to go in a new direction. I need to recognize that the way that I was walking before is not leading me into the life that Jesus has for me. I need to turn my whole complexion and follow after Jesus. That's what it means to repent. And so baptism was a symbol of this new orientation. What John was preaching, when John came out into the places and was preaching, he was saying, there's someone coming. There's someone coming who's going to tell you what this means. There's someone coming who's going to give you the direction to go. What I'm calling you to right now is recognize that the way you're living and what you're doing is not conducive to the life that God has for you. Repent and turn. And so Jesus comes, and part of Jesus' baptism is it's almost like passing the baton. Yes, I've got my Olympic thing there. Good, it's good. Passing the baton between John to Jesus. So part of the reason John said, I have to be baptized, is he is buying into the very thing that John is doing and basically becoming and saying, I'm that person you've been waiting for. The baptism of Jesus was, in essence, his commissioning. It was the beginning of his journey. In the same way, it's the commissioning of a new Christian. When you decide to be baptized, it doesn't mean you've got it all together. It simply means that you're saying, I'm ready to get started. I'm ready to go. We continue on, and something really special happens in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. I can't imagine what this would have been like, but heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love." I love these next words. With him, I am well pleased. Why are those words so significant? Why is it so significant that God would look down at Jesus in this moment of commissioning and say to him, I am pleased. Because here's the thing you have to remember. Right, Jesus, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is one of the first places we see that Christian idea. We have Jesus being baptized, we have the Spirit alighting on him, and we have the Father in heaven saying, "This is my Son." Three distinct beings. Three unique. It's not that the Trinity is all just one thing. It's one, and it's three. And that could be a whole sermon, so I'll preach that one another time because we could certainly sit there for a while. But here's the other aspect. Why is it so significant that God is saying, "This moment, I am well pleased"? Jesus has done nothing yet. This is not, hey, Jesus is gone and he's raised some people from the dead and he's turned the water into the wine and he's done all of those things. He's done many things, although that actually would have taken place at this point. He hasn't raised his disciples. He hasn't gone along and been crucified. He hasn't achieved anything. This is not I'm well pleased with him because he's done all these good things. This is he's simply following me. He's doing what he can do in this moment. It's not about getting there. One of the main reasons people put off being baptized, and I can say this having spoken to a lot of people about baptism, is they go, "I'm not good enough yet. There's still too much sin in my life. I still go out and do things I shouldn't do. God wouldn't be pleased with me yet." But the very baptism of Jesus reminds us and shows us that it's not about getting to this ethereal place of having it all together. That doesn't happen until Jesus returns. It's simply getting to a place where you say, "I'm ready to get started. And I'll spend the rest of my life wrestling with and working out everything else." And for those of you who might have been journeying for a while, who you've been baptized before. You've been baptized, you know, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 50 years ago. No judgment. And you look back and go, "Oh, I'd love to go back to those days. I'd love to go back to that faith. Some of the stuff that's happened in my life since then, some of the things, some of the questions, some of the challenges that have come." And remember that right now, it was back then that Jesus said, "With you I am well pleased." Not because of what you hadn't done. He looks at you and says, "With you I am well pleased." Because of faith. Because of confidence in him, not because of what you achieve for him. Not because you've got it all together. Not because you don't have questions. Not because you don't have doubts. Have all of those things. I think as my faith grows, I get more questions. As I get further progressed in my faith and as I spend time talking with more people, more things come together that make me go, "Oh, wow, God, I can't wait to have an actual, to sit down and have a coffee." I'm sure God drinks coffee. Because the questions grow. That's my experience. But in doing so, and as I do things for God, and as I go places, and as I try and achieve, and I do, I try and do what God calls me to. I try and be faithful and get to those places, and I try and see things change, because I believe God calls us to lead people into those places. I'm still reminded of 7-year-old James, who was enough. For God, faith as small as a mustard seed. Baptism is the beginning. It was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And if you're someone here who hasn't been baptized, maybe you're waiting, maybe you've never really thought about it being something that was actually important. It is important. No, you're not going to have to mark the box, yet, you know, tick the box, "Yes, I was baptized to get into heaven." I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I don't believe that's the marker of whether or not someone is saved. Because it's a symbol, not a requirement. It's good to fulfill all righteousness. It's good as an act of of demonstrating physically what's taken place in the spiritual realm. I actually think baptism has more to do about being a marker for you in your life than it does about being a marker of your salvation for God's purposes. God knows where your heart is. Because when you've been baptized, you can always look back to that moment. No matter what's gone on since then, no matter what's changed, no matter how many times you've gone off the rails, you can go back to that moment and remember that simple faith. And that's why I think it's perfectly fine to baptize children. They should be of a stage where they can understand what they're doing. We don't practice infant baptism as a church. I don't think theologically that's the point of baptism. It is your own choice. But increasingly, I'm seeing that kids know from a pretty young age what they're actually thinking in different spaces. Exactly what that age is, I don't think you can set a set limit. You'd have to have conversations with the kids. I really appreciated the way that the church, as I was at as a small child, led me through that and let me think through what that looked like. Because it's not about having it all together. Baptism isn't the end. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's the beginning of our life. For followers of Jesus, baptism is the beginning of a new way of living. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, we read this. It's obviously a very famous part of the Christian teaching. Therefore, go and make disciples. So this is Jesus. He's about to leave. He spent 3 years teaching his disciples what to do to be followers of him. He's now going to go away, still be present through the Spirit, still be present through communication and prayer. And these are his words given to his followers. This is what you're to do. Go and make disciples. Go and do exactly what I've done. I spent 3 years showing you the way. Go and do likewise. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Baptize them. Teach them. Make disciples. And then again, those really encouraging words, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So here's some questions that you might be thinking about, and I'd love you to wrestle through. If you haven't been baptized, we'd love to make the opportunity for you to be baptized. Right now, after the service, there's a lake out on the oval. No, we won't do that. The swimming pool the school didn't realize they were installing. No, we can organise to do a baptism service. We don't have a set one in place, but it's not hard to pull that together. We'd love to baptise you. So if you'd like to know more about that, just come and have a chat with me. If you're not comfortable having a chat with me, it doesn't have to be the pastor who baptises you. It doesn't even have to be done at church. It's helpful because it builds energy and it builds excitement and everyone gets to be a part of that. But ultimately, it's more important that you get baptized than it is that it has to be done in some fancy formal way. Have a talk with someone who's important to you. If they need guidance, they can come and see me. But if you're comfortable, I'd love to have a chat and talk about what that could look like. It has been a central practice. If you're wondering and you didn't quite pick it up already, because Jesus' words at the very end of his time were, go and make disciples and baptize them. This has been a central practice throughout church history. I do not see it going away anytime soon. I do not think it should go away anytime soon. We are a Baptist church. There are lots of reasons we're a Baptist church, and maybe you didn't know that because the name of our church doesn't have it in, but it is an important part of our ethos and our understanding of following Jesus. There are many debates over how and when. Come and have a chat with me, because it's really just most important that you get baptized. So we can have a chat and talk that through. And I do think that there's a reason behind it. Jesus' words himself are saying to fulfill all righteousness. Remember, it's not about ticking a box. The righteousness here is not about getting a gateway into heaven. It's that heart level, I really want to take this seriously. And one of the great things about baptism, if you've got lots of friends who aren't Christian, but they're kind of willing to support you, Baptisms are a really good place for your friends to even come and see. It's a bit strange for them. It's a bit weird. That's just the way that it is for people exploring who aren't part of this. But it raises questions, and it gives you an opportunity to express the importance that it is in your life. Now, here's the other question. Maybe you've already been baptized. What does this mean for you? Here's a really good reminder for yourself. Are you living in line with what your baptism represented? Go back to when you were baptized and the reasons you were choosing to be baptized. Maybe you do need to be reminded today. There was a reason why you got baptized when you got baptized. Maybe things have shifted. Maybe you've moved away from the faith you had then. Maybe you doubt the faith you had then. But maybe today can be a really good reminder for you to go, huh, yeah, that meant something to me. Why was that so important when that happened? Maybe that's the encouragement that you need today to get back to the faith that you once had. Remember that repentance is an urgent invitation to reorient your values, habits, thinking, and behavior to a different understanding. And baptism is a marker that you can remind yourself as you see yourself pivot back, because we do that. As you see yourself pivoting back to what you may have done before, remember your baptism. No. At my baptism, I said I was going to do this. So let's do this. Do you have to be baptized? I think I've covered that fairly well. Christianity is a faith-based faith. The word faith's right there. It's not about works. It's not about specifically ticking boxes and getting things done. It's a symbol. It's an important symbol. It's something Jesus himself modeled. So that's a pretty hard bar to get past. But I sort of think it's an essential thing. And I've got some people that I know in my life who are followers of Jesus who, for all kinds of reasons, are actually a bit stuck on this. And I've actually had some chats with some of them and encouraged them not to be baptized yet, because at the moment, they actually would just be doing it to tick a box. I've encouraged them, wrestle with it. Wait until it is actually at a place where you're going, no, there's a heart level here. But don't wrestle too long, because you could miss the opportunity for something that can really light your faith up. Should you ever get re-baptized? This one's interesting. There have actually been churches that have split over this, so I'm on a little bit of dangerous ground to some degree. But here's what I would say to that. Because baptism isn't required, so being baptized again is definitely not required. There's no reason that would require you. I also wouldn't generally recommend it. The only real basis that I would give for you being re-baptized is if you are absolutely rock solid, clear in your own mind that your first baptism, you actually had no faith. Maybe, and I've heard of this where, you know, kids have done it at youth group because the youth leader said, let's all get baptized. And so everyone came on in and got baptized and they had absolutely no faith whatsoever. If you had faith as small as a mustard seed at your original first baptism, I would say there's absolutely no reason to be baptized again. It would only be because you were just absolutely rock solid. I just did not have faith. And so you wanted to have that experience of baptism that was real and authentic. You definitely shouldn't have a third one. Maybe you've gone through and done it a second time because you weren't sure the first time. Okay, just leave it at that. You're doing all right. You're there. And that would be about the only place that I'd see that being an important aspect. Baptism was important for Jesus. It's important to us as a church. Whether it's something you need to do because you've never done it before, or maybe you need to go back to that time in your life and faith and remember what baptism meant to you, to bring you back today to the faith that God desires you to have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for baptism. We thank you that you came in the flesh and lived a life that could be a model for us to follow. Lord, we thank you that for going on nearly 2,000 years, There have been people who have faithfully followed in your footsteps. That what you set out all those years ago to do, still this day lives on throughout the world. I want to pray for anyone here today, Lord, who hasn't been baptized, who might be considering it. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move in their heart and their mind and help them to see just what this can be in their life. Lord, for those of us who are here today who have been baptized, may you remind us, may you help us to wrestle with and to take ourselves back to that place, that perhaps simpler time when all we knew was that we believed in you, in your life, death, and resurrection. Lord, help us this day and each day as we follow after you. We pray this in Jesus' name.